There's a story about a small town years ago that decided they needed to modernize. So the town council voted to install one of those newfangled, brand new phone systems for the city offices. You know, the kind where you call and the cheerful voice says, "Please listen carefully as our options have changed." The day they turned it on, everything went wrong. People called to ask about trash pickup and somehow ended up connected to the animal shelter. A man trying to pay a parking ticket got forwarded to the library. Someone calling about a pothole found themselves listening to a recorded message about the summer reading programs for children. After a full day of chaos, the town manager called the tech company. And he demanded they fix it immediately. So the next morning, the technician came out. He plugged in his laptop. He typed for a few minutes, and then he said, "All fixed." The town manager's like, "Well, what was the problem? Was it the software, the wiring, the system?" The technician says, "No, the system worked perfectly." The manager said, "Well, then why is everyone getting sent to the wrong place?" And the technician replied, "Because no one listened to the options, and they kept pushing zero." Turns out, if you press zero, you know, it's saying press one for utilities, two for public works, three for animal services. Nobody listened. As soon as it started talking, they started just mashing zero, hoping to skip the instructions and get to a real person. And the system was set up so where if you pushed zero, it didn't take you where you wanted to go. It just dropped you in the shortest queue. The problem wasn't the clarity of instructions. The problem was that no one wanted to hear the instructions. Everybody wanted the outcome without the process. Everybody wanted help without listening. They want the shortcut. The town discovered something funny but kind of painfully true. When you refuse to listen carefully, you end up somewhere you never intended to be. If you could raise the house lights for me, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. I need to see who I'm talking to. You guys are beautiful. Why would I not want to see you? You know, you often end up where you're not intended to be, right? I think that's a lot like what happens when God starts speaking clearly into our lives. Because most of us aren't confused about what God is saying. We're uncomfortable with what God is saying. We don't struggle with clarity. We struggle with willingness. We don't need better instructions. We need softer hearts. Instead of listening carefully, we're looking for the spiritual version of press zero. Some way we want to bypass what we just heard or skip the part we don't like to get a different option that feels easier or safer or more manageable. And that's exactly what Moses is doing in Exodus 4. So if you want to turn in your Bible and your app to Exodus 4, that's where we're going to be today. And in Exodus 4, God is not vague, all right? He's not mysterious. He's not symbolic. He is incredibly clear. And guess what? Moses understands him perfectly. Moses just keeps trying to push zero on God. As we bring this series, the Your Ministry series, to a close, I want to take a moment that feels uncomfortably familiar. God calling Moses. God's calling is specific, it is direct. It's personal and it's powerful. "Go to Pharaoh and bring my people out of Egypt." There's no confusion about the assignment here. No lack of clarity. God speaks. Moses knows exactly what God's asking him to do. And I want to provide some context for you here. Moses is still standing in front of the burning bush, arguing with God. Just so we're on the same page here. So far, the conversation's gone like this. God tells Moses, I am holy. The ground is holy. Take your shoes off. Then God tells Moses, I have seen the suffering of my people. I've heard their cries. I'm going to save them. So far, so good. No argument here. But then God tells him, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to lead my people out of Egypt. Go. And then Moses does what many of us have been doing throughout this entire series. He resists. Not once, not twice, three different times. He questions, he hesitates, he pushes back, he gives excuse after excuse. And if we're honest, that's where this series lands for many of us. For this series, we've talked about ministry being for everyone. We talked about calling. We talked about using what God's given us. And yet somewhere along the way, something inside of us has quietly said, that sounds good, but not me. And that's exactly where Moses is in Exodus 4. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they'll say, the Lord did not appear to you. Moses' first excuse is simple. They won't believe me. God's already said in Exodus 3, the people will listen. But Moses pushes back, no, they won't. This is one of the most common ways we talk ourselves out of evangelism or out of serving inside a ministry that God's already built. They're not interested. They're not open. They won't respond. That ministry won't work. We say it about our neighbor who doesn't seem spiritual, so why would we talk to him about Jesus? We say it about when the church has a need that feels awkward or out of our comfort zone. So what do we do? What do we say? Nothing. We convince ourselves that silence is wisdom, that inaction is discernment, and that avoiding the moment is actually the right call, when in reality, that's just fear dressed up, looking responsible. Moses isn't just doubting the people. He's doubting what God already said. God said they will listen. Moses says they will not. And instead of shutting Moses down, God responds with patience. He gives him signs. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it, which is normal. No one should run towards snakes. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, has appeared to you. Cool, huh? Snakes are terrifying, and that is still cool. But if that's not enough, God gives another sign. For the second sign, he says, all right, Moses, take your hand and stick it inside your cloak. I imagine this Napoleon-type look. You know, he sticks it in there, stands there for a minute. He pulls it back out. His hand is white as snow. He has leprosy. His flesh is disgusting. This is way less cool than the first sign. So he sticks his hand back in and pulls it back out, and he's healed. His hand is clean again. This is another marvelous sign that God gives him so that the people will believe that he's sent by God. And then God gives him a third one. He says, if you take water and dip it in the Nile and then pour that water on dry ground, it will be blood when it hits the ground. So he gave Moses three amazing signs to give confidence for his task to go to the people of Israel. So God answered Moses' concern. God meets Moses in his fear and then provides what he needs. But I need you to not miss the point here, okay? God isn't telling Moses, you just got to be more convincing. You just got to be more passionate, more knowledgeable. He's saying, I will make it clear that this is from me. Your job is not to make people believe. Your job is to be faithful. And we feel that so deeply, right? We say things like, I don't know enough Bible. Or I can't explain things very well. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to get the response right and to say it perfectly and to have an answer to every question, to win the moment. Listen, Jesus was the ultimate teacher. He had all the answers. People still didn't believe him. They rejected him. And we can't be concerned that the response to teaching the gospel will be negative. That's not our concern. People reject God, not us. It is not a personal thing. Just because people won't listen to us, though, doesn't mean you're excused from sharing the gospel with other people. I want you to think about a mail carrier, all right? Their job is not to make sure the recipient likes the message, right? If that was the case, I wouldn't take some of my mail. Their job is not to explain the contents of the letter. Their job is not to argue about what's inside the envelope. Their job is simple. Pick it up, carry it faithfully, deliver it to the right address. What the person does with that letter, once it's no longer in the carrier's hands, is no longer the carrier's burden. The success for the delivery is measured by the task, not the reaction to the message. In the same way, God never asked you to be the author of the message. He asked you to be the messenger. But Moses keeps going. But Moses says to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. Now the excuses shift. I'm not capable. I'm not good enough. I'm not gifted that way. I don't have what it takes. This feels more personal. It's about Moses' limitations, his weaknesses, his insecurities. I'm no good with words. I don't have a personality for that job. You heard people say that before, huh? And listen to how God responds. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Who made your mouth? When we say, I can't, we're making a statement about God. We're saying, God, you made a mistake with me. But God's saying, I made you exactly as you are, and I will be with you. In Exodus 3, Moses said, who am I to do this big task? And God told Moses, he doesn't build confidence in Moses. He says, it's not about you. I will be with you. That's the answer. Not, yes, you are enough. Not, you are ready. It is, I will be with you. I remember struggling with this when I was asked to step into the role of lead pastor. It felt like too much responsibility, too much pressure. People kept telling me it was a thankless job, that people's expectations could be insurmountable. I remember thinking, I'm not a strong enough speaker for this. I'm not ready for this. I don't have the right temperament for this. There are people who are more gifted, more polished, more naturally suited for this than I am. Everything in me wanted to say, God, you should send somebody else. But God didn't build my confidence by telling me how capable I was. That would have been nice. That's not what happened. He built my confidence by surrounding me with people who I trusted, who kept reminding me that God can work through me. He opened doors that I did not force open. He made it clear that this was not about my readiness, but about his presence. And I'm so grateful that I listened. Because I've seen over and over that he truly is with me in this. After stepping into this role, I came across the story of a woman named Lynn Calvert. She was known simply as Grandma in the rural part of Papua New Guinea. She served as a doctor missionary there for 69 years. 69 years in the same place. She treated tuberculosis when there were no easy resources. She helped immunize entire villages against cholera and against measles. She delivered over 10,000 babies. She trained generations of healthcare workers to carry the work forward long after her. And to the people there, she was a hero to the outside world. Almost nobody knew her name. Later in life, someone asked her what it was like to stay faithful in one place for that long. 69 years is a long time. And when you ask that question of someone, you expect a story about perseverance or sacrifice or dedication. But what she said was simple. The longer she stayed, the less proud she became, the less dogmatic she became. She realized something clearly after all those years. She said, it was all God anyway. All the good bits were him. And that stuck with me. Because that's what God does when you say yes to him. You step into something feeling unqualified and unsure and overwhelmed. And over time, you realize this was never about your ability. It was never about your strength. All the good parts were him. But Moses is still not done. He's still complaining. But he said, oh my Lord, please send somebody else. Now we get to the real issue. This is not about ability. It is about willingness. Send someone else. And this time the tone shifts. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He's been patient with questions and doubts and insecurities, but refusal, that's different. We can wrestle with God. We can ask questions. But you don't get to opt out. Saying, but I really don't want to, kindles God's anger. It's a powerful realization. Monday, there was no school for kids, so Thomas was with me. He was sitting back there at the while I was working on the slides, working on this slide. He was reading a book. I didn't think he was paying attention. I was typing away, and he said, ooh, that third excuse is bad. My 8-year-old knows that's a terrible excuse for a parent. Imagine for God. But we still give it, don't we? And yet, even here, in the midst of his anger, God showed grace. He provided Aaron. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people. God doesn't remove the calling. He provides help. You are not called to do this alone. And that's where we need to pause and be very clear as we close this series out. This series is not about a call to volunteer. This series is an invitation to serve. Volunteering is something you do when it fits, when it's convenient. Serving is something you do because your life belongs to God. Amen. Volunteering serves a role, fills a role. Serving lives out a calling. This is not about adding something extra to your schedule. This is about living the life you were created for. Moses wasn't the obvious choice. He doubted, he resisted, he struggled, he had a terrible temper. Later, he was still going to mess up. God told him, I will provide water for the people from this rock, and I need you to just tell the people the water's coming out of this rock, just say my name, and that's where it's going to come from, so they will know that I will take care of them. But Moses, at that moment, was mad at the people. He was mad at them for not trusting him and Aaron, complaining all the time, oddly enough. And he acted harshly. He yells at them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you didn't believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." Moses is faithful but flawed. Just like Abraham. Just like Noah, just like Rahab, just like David, just like you, just like Peter. The people in Lystra were amazed that Peter and his crew were doing the things they were doing and saying the things they were doing. And Peter looked at them and said, "We are merely human beings, just like you. Ordinary people used by an extraordinary God." That's ministry. Not proving yourself, not impressing anyone, simply being available. So what excuse have you been holding on to? What excuse have you been holding on to? They won't listen. I don't like that ministry. I'm not good enough. Someone else would be better. God's already answered this one for you. I will be with you. Paul says in Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You were made for this. You were made for this. Paul also says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing. You shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." This is who you are. The pressure is not on you to produce results. The call is to be faithful. Remember the signs Moses performed pointed people to God, not to Moses. That was the point. In John 1:5, Jesus said, "You will see greater things than these." In John 2, and manifested his glory. and his disciples believed in him. Your life and your service point people to Jesus. So don't leave this series thinking you need to be better. Leave knowing God is with you. So take the step in front of you, because God's not looking for someone else. God's not looking for someone else. These are the options. This is the last week of the series. This is the last sermon of this series. So the sign-up sheets are in the lobby again. And I'm here to tell you, he is calling you. He is calling you to take ownership and be a part of your ministry.